Good morning to each one. Glad to see you this morning. A big welcome to all our Central family. It's good to assemble on the first day of the week and go to God and worship Him. A big welcome to all visitors and guests. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are especially glad to have you. We're honored by your presence. We hope you'll be able to stay around for just a few minutes after the close of service and let some of us come over and greet you and let you know that we're glad to have you with us. A big welcome to all those who are streaming us online. We're glad to have you with us. It's good to get together as a family of God and come together and worship Him. We're going to begin our service in just a moment with songs of praise to God. Before we do that, I want to share with you two verses, the opening verses from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for all His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Let's honor God in worship now.
Let's all sing together 230, if you're using the book, 230, Worthy Art Thou. And we'll also,
following this song, we'll sing page over in number 232, Worthy You Are Worthy.
Before we are led in prayer together, we're going to sing These Are the Days of Elijah. It's not in the book, so you'll have to look up here on the screen. And then following this song, we'll be led in prayer.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine, darkness, and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining on the sun, at the trumpet calls, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh, and these are the days of your servant.
Let's take this time to express our heartfelt desires to God. So if you will bow with me. Heavenly Father, we bring before you, each and every one of us, our heart's desires. And they're not all the same. Each of us has within us our own personal wishes for you. And we bring them before your throne because they're important to us. Help us all to live in harmony with all our fellow humans. Fill us with grace and kindness and patience so that we can be at peace with all our fellow pilgrims. Not contentious as so many of our fellows are these days. But help us to be people of reason so that the words coming out of our mouth are words of blessing. And as ambassadors on your behalf, may they be words of health and words that heal and words that remind the people who are hearing them that you're our King. Help us to let our never-ending love be demonstrated in everything that we say and everything that we do. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Before we have a scripture reading and Tim's lesson this morning, let's sing together, Ring Out the Message, hymn number 622. 622. If you would, please stand with me as we sing. In your songbook, our hymn of invitation will be number 396. 396.
Our children's training class will meet at this time. You can exit out these back doors, and it's toward the old auditorium and the old mess hall. Our reading this morning comes from Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints. as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness that to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
What a beautiful morning. It is springtime, it is sunny outside. What could be better? Well, it could be better to be inside with other Christians praising God. And that's what we're doing. And it is so good to be together. The singing today is wonderful. The attendance today looks excellent. And so we are very happy that all of you are here with us today. We have visitors, I've met some already. And others I have not met, but I want to meet, but today I've got to run out quickly after I'm through preaching and get back up to the prison. Yes, your preacher has to go to prison. But I get to go to prison, let me put it that way. But it's so good to see you, and glad that you are here. And if we can help you in any way, we'd love to be able to help. If you have something that we can do to assist you, please let us know. And come back and be with us anytime you can. We love to have you with us regularly, and we'd love to talk to you about that. Also, all of you online, it's always good to have you with us. I appreciate you joining us in this way until you're able, if that day comes, to come and be with us personally. But glad that you're choosing to worship God and that you're going to join us in our study of God's Word. This evening at 6 o'clock, we'll meet again to worship God. Greg is going to bring the lesson at that time. I want you to come back and join us. Let's get together. It does us good to be together physically. And so if you're able, come on out. Let's worship God again and give praise to his name. I've got a couple of prayer requests I want to begin with. One has been submitted by Sheila Carr. I don't guess Sheila is with us. It sounds like she has an eye infection. And then on top of that, the eye drops they gave her caused an allergic reaction. And so she's on oral antibiotics now, and she asked that we pray with her that this situation will pass quickly. And if you've ever had eye issues, you know that is an urgent prayer request. So we want to pray for Sheila in just a moment. And then also Bill Phillips has asked that we offer a special prayer this morning. Bill is not able to be with us usually. Years ago, as a police officer here in Johnson City, he was shot, and that's caused some serious damage. All the things that followed has caused him to have a lot of problems. But he's still very much in tune with other fellow police officers. And he wants us to offer a special prayer for those that serve as law enforcement officers in whatever capacity. One thing he sent me in his text or his email was that the average life expectancy of a police officer is 21% less than the average American. And that just shows that they are putting themselves in harm's way for us, for our safety. And so we want to begin this morning praying for their safety and their well-being, as well as for Sheila and her situation. Let's bow and go to God in prayer. Our God and our Father, we do lift up our hearts to you this morning, praising you because you truly are worthy. You are worthy of all the praise that we can give, Father, and then much more. You are the Creator, you are eternal, you are all-knowing and all-powerful, and you are good. You are loving and merciful and gracious. And Father, we bow before you especially, giving praise for your Son Jesus, who has delivered us from sin by the power of his blood. Lord, may we always be found in him. And this morning, Father, we want to approach you with these special requests. Please bless Sheila. This is a very difficult problem that she's dealing with, and we know it's something that is not something she can ignore. We just pray that the antibiotics will do their job and that very soon her vision will be completely restored and she'll be past this. And Father, we also pray for those who are watching out for our safety in this country. We know these men and women are taking on risk every day when they report to duty. And yet they do it because this is their calling, this is their passion. We're so thankful for them, Father. And yet we pray that you will watch over them and give them more safety than ever before. We know we're living in a time when there's so many threats, so many have been shot, have been assaulted, have been their lives have been taken, their health has been affected long term. Lord, just bless these servants. And may they have your full blessings, Father, in all that they do. Be with all of us, Lord. We need you every day of our lives. And we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope you got your Bible open or turned on. Let's get into the Word of God, and we're going to find some wonderful things there, as we always do. So let's get into that now. I'll begin by telling you about something that happened in April of 2010. I know it's old news, but I didn't know about it until just this week, this past week. I learned that there was a company called GameStation, a British firm, and people that go online to order a product one day saw this message, a new terms of service. Now, that's not unusual. With all the things going on nowadays, it's not unusual to receive an email or a message pop up, new terms of service. And usually we just scroll through it and we say, okay, you know, I'm not going to read all that. That's legalese. But in this terms of service, if you clicked okay, you were selling your soul to GameStation. You were selling your soul to GameStation. Did I mention it came out on April 1st? But they reported afterwards that only 12% of all the people that came to their site that day opted out, which they could do just by clicking a box. Only 12% opted out and didn't sell their soul. And so they say, now we have 7,500 people that owe their souls to us. It was an April Fool's joke. But it shows sometimes we don't really pay attention to things that maybe we should. Because that fine print, it's there for a reason. You know, they have to protect themselves. We have to agree to this or that. We understand that. But sometimes deceptive people will hide things in that fine print that we really should have noticed if we had taken the time to look. And maybe because we didn't look, well, maybe this car warranty I paid a lot of money for is only good if I don't happen to turn my car on for the next 2 years. Then it's okay. That may have been in the fine print. I'm not knocking all car warranties. I know there's some legitimate ones out there. But the point is, do we take the time to really examine, to really make sure? And that's what we're looking for, isn't it? Assurance. And the idea today is building on our annual theme this year of authentic. Because we all want to be sure of certain things. The more important it is, the more vital it is that we be assured that we're going to get what we think we're going to get or not going to get what we don't want to get. Can we get that in the most important area of all, talking about our spiritual security? Is there any such thing as authentic assurance from God? And I'm happy to tell you, there is. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about this idea of authentic assurance. First of all, let's understand that in the Bible, we're told good people have been misled about their spiritual assurance. People in the past have been misled about their spiritual assurance. Now, throughout history, people have often turned to other people, you know, tell me what I need to know, you direct me the way I need to go, and I'll take your word, whatever it is. And that person might be a priest, it might be a preacher, it might be a pastor, it might be a best-selling author. And many times people will say, okay, that's what they said, that must be it. And they don't go any further than that. They put their trust in what a person tells them. In the Old Testament, we find a lot of times where that was not a good idea. Let's begin by looking in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14, and here's what God is saying through Jeremiah the prophet. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, Jeremiah is writing about a very difficult time in Judah's history. They are heavy into idolatry. They are ignoring God's word on a number of things. And Jeremiah is coming and saying, you're going to be punished because you've not been listening to God. And here are these false prophets that are going around saying, oh, don't listen to Jeremiah. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Peace, peace. And yet God says to Jeremiah, there is no peace. You need to be listening to my prophet instead of listening to what these people say. And why are they saying those things? They're greedy for unjust gain. You pay them whatever they ask for, they'll tell you what you want to hear. I wonder if it's that way today. If you pay somebody enough, they'll say, well, okay, here's what you want to hear. I'll tell you that. But God says that's not a good idea. Go to Ezekiel. You got Jeremiah, then Lamentations, a short book, and then you've got Ezekiel. And this comes a few years later, not many years later, and Ezekiel is saying very much the same thing. You've still got these people that are telling you what you want to hear. Is that good? Well, here's what he says in Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 10, the first part of the verse, precisely because they have misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace. They're saying everything's okay. You don't need to worry about Ezekiel or Jeremiah or all those other prophets that pronounce those woeful things. Everything's okay. And again, God said they're misleading my people. They're leading you in the wrong direction. You need to listen to my word and not to the words of these false prophets. And then if we go back in time, although in the Bible it's going forward into the book of Micah. Micah appeared a while before Jeremiah and Ezekiel, but even then it was the same problem. Here's what Micah says in Micah chapter 3 and verse 5, and again talking about people that wanted to know, is everything okay with us? Tell us, it's okay with us. And this is what we find in Micah 3 verse 5. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing into their mouths. In other words, they're preachers for hire. You pay them what they ask for, they'll tell you what you want to hear. And you want to hear that my life is okay the way it is, I don't have to make any changes in my life. Okay, I'll tell you that if you pay me this amount. That's what he's saying there, Micah chapter 3 and verse 5. And so the point is, here are people looking for assurance, but they're looking in the wrong place. They're listening to people who have motives to tell you what you want to hear instead of what you really need to hear. And so this idea is found often. But let's look at Jeremiah again. Go to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 16 and 17. And here is a broader statement of the problem according to God. Jeremiah 23, 16 and 17. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. You've got hopes, but they're vain. It's not going to work out. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. And that's what we want to hear, isn't it? You come to me and you say, Tim, tell me how I'm doing. Everything's good. You don't need to do anything different than what you're doing right now. And that makes you feel good. Is it true? Well, I hope it is. But we've got to listen to the Lord. That's what they're saying in all of these passages. Sometimes we do come to the Lord and he says, yes, everything looks good. You are following my word. But if we're not, that's not what we need to hear. William Miller is a case in point. William Miller was a preacher in the 19th century and apparently had a pretty good following. And he once pronounced, "I know when Christ is coming back to this earth." And he gave the date of October 22nd, 1844. And he kept, preaching this. He produced scriptures and charts, which he said, "This proves it." And a lot of people bought into that. And some of them even sold their possessions. They said, "Why do we need these things? If Christ is coming again, let's just get rid of everything. Here, you need my lawnmower? Take my lawnmower." I don't think they had them back then. But whatever they had, just give it away because I'm not gonna need it anymore. And then that date came and went and Jesus didn't come. Well, where did William Miller get that? He didn't get it from the Word of God, which makes very clear no one knows when the Lord is going to come. In fact, the image of a thief coming at night is used to describe that day. You don't know when the thief is coming, and yet William Miller said, "I know." And that day is now referred to as the Great Disappointment. The Great Disappointment. And just imagine, you had bought into that, you had given away all your things, sold them, and now what do? I mean, the Lord didn't come. What do we do now? But there's a greater disappointment coming. I know that because Jesus said so. Look with me at Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And here Jesus says, there is a greater disappointment coming for many people. And why? Here's what he says. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" These are people that are convinced they are religious, they're acceptable to God. What's the problem here? Go back to verse 21. They didn't do the will of my Father who is in heaven. They were doing religious things, but were they doing the will of the Father in heaven? And Jesus said no. And so I don't even know those people. What was the problem there? They put their faith in what others were saying, and they didn't listen to the Lord. Could that happen today? As we're looking for assurance of our spiritual well-being and salvation, could that same kind of thing happen today? I think absolutely it can, and that's why, again, we're looking at the idea of authentic assurance. So here's how God provides it. Here's how God provides authentic assurance for sincere disciples. If you're really sincere about this and you want to know without any shadow of a doubt, "Lord, am I okay with you? Is everything okay with my life?" Let's talk about that, and it won't take long. First of all, let's look at the basis for getting this assurance. We're going to go back to the passage that was read to us earlier by Garrett in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. And here the writer says this: "We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance." There's that word that we're talking about. You want to have full assurance? That's what he wants as well. "We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And there's the idea. I want full assurance. I want to know that my hope is grounded in certainty. Can I have that? He says, "Imitate those who by patience and faith inherit the promises." Patience means I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hang in there until the end of my life. And faith, well, what does that mean? Well, to get a good definition of that, keep reading in the book of Hebrews. Go to chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And you probably know this verse. You've heard it numbers of times. And here's what he says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for." There's assurance again. "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I don't see this thing that I'm hoping for. Does it really exist? And faith says yes, because I have foundation for that hope, that assurance. And to really understand that even better, go a little bit further in Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 8. And now we're looking at an example of faith, one of the greatest examples of faith you'll find anywhere in the Bible. His name is Abraham. And it says this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, sometimes I've gone out not knowing where I'm going, but I haven't left behind my family and my home and all of that, not like Abraham. And why would Abraham do something like that? Because he heard somebody calling him. And who was that somebody? It was God. He was listening to the words of God saying, I'm going to give you inheritance. I'm going to bless you in many ways. You've got to follow me. And there goes Abraham. That's faith. And so if we want assurance, it's based on faith, and that faith comes from the voice of God. Now, I've not heard the voice of God. I doubt that you have either. So how do we get it? Romans 10, 17, you know this passage. It's one that we talk about a lot. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, where Paul wrote simply, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes through this book. It's an old book, but it's God's word. It doesn't matter the age of it. It is the living and active word of God that we read about in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And if we want to know where God wants us to go, this is the book that we turn to. We keep coming back to it. And when we base our faith on this, we can be assured. That's what we've read a couple of times in Hebrews. You can have that assurance that you're going in the right direction. Now, I want to go to the book of 1 John. Turn with me there. We're going to look at three or four different passages in 1 John, because here is a book that is all about assurance. You want to know that you have eternal life? I do. I want to be certain of that. Do you want to know that God looks upon you and smiles rather than frowns? I do. And that's what 1 John is all about. And I'm going to show you a few passages here that say, here are the certain features, the specific things in our lives that we're to look for. And we're not going to exhaust the list, but we'll just show you this can be had. We can have that assurance. We'll begin in 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4 and verse 1, because John gives a warning. The apostle of love gives a warning. Here's what he said, 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, is that something worth paying attention to? Did John know what he was talking about? I dare say he did. He was an apostle. He wrote by the inspiration of God, and he said, do not believe everything you hear. Test the spirits. And how do we do that? Well, this book, again, gives us God's will. And if I go back to this book and check the things that I hear and make sure that's really what God said, then I know I'm doing right. But John said, don't just buy everything that comes along. You know, because a speaker may be charismatic, because they may be eloquent, because they may have many degrees after their name, whatever it may be, don't just blindly buy into that, but say, wait a minute, is that really what God's word teaches? That's what John is saying, do not believe every spirit. But let's go to chapter 2 now, 1 John chapter 2, and here's one of those specific things that will give us assurance that we have everlasting life, that we're pleasing to God. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. Here's what he says there. By this, we know that we have come to know him. Sounds like assurance, doesn't it? By this test, we know that we have come to know him. And what is that? If we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And does that tell us something we need to know? Yes. It says that if we keep the commandments of God, and what are those commandments? It's what's written in this book. Not every Bible verse is a command for Christians to follow, but there's a lot of things that are there. Are we being meticulous in reading the Bible as a personal thing? I need to know this so that I can find out what I need to do. But sometimes I don't like what I find. It's uncomfortable. It's going to mean I'll have to change something about my life. Can I just kind of skip those over? Look at it again. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And if you don't keep his commandments, you don't have that assurance. That's what John says. Let's read on. Let's go into chapter 2 again, verse 29. A little bit further in the chapter. 1 John 2 and verse 29. And John says this, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So practicing righteousness is a way that we can be sure. Now, what is that righteousness? Again, it's the word of God. God tells us what is right. And if I follow what God tells me to do, I am practicing righteousness. But if I'm not reading the Bible on a regular basis, if I don't come to Bible classes on a regular basis, how do I know what is right in the sight of God? Do I have that assurance? And John said there, you may be sure if you do this, practice righteousness. Again, in 1 John, let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Again, we're talking about assurance. Verses 18 and 19. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. We understand that, don't we? Think back to Valentine's Day. You know, that's not been that long ago. And you said to your spouse, I really love you. But was there anything to demonstrate that? Was there any concrete action taken? And I know you were busy that day. There's been other times. I understand that. But you got to back up what you say with deeds, with actions. And that's what he says here, is we've got to show that to the Lord. Then he goes on in verse 29. Back in verse 19, chapter 3, verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. By what? By loving in deed and in truth. We don't just say, Lord, I love you, but I don't have time for you this week. I love you, but I don't like that command I read last night in the Bible. I'm not going to do that. We're talking about reassuring our hearts, aren't we? And how do we do that? By doing what the Lord has shown us in his word. That's authentic assurance. And then one other one. Look at chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where John writes, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And that makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? If we love other people, and again, we're not just talking about saying, oh, I love everybody, but I'm not going to do anything good for that person. They better not come my way. Now, we've got to be open to everyone and show that we love everyone, because that's what God is. God is love. And if we love others, we know that we are of God. So John makes a lot of statements in this short epistle that say, if you want to know that you have eternal life, if you want to know that God is pleased with you, here it is. And I suggest that we all look at this book of 1 John if we're looking for authentic assurance, and not just 1 John, but anywhere in the New Testament, the whole Bible, in fact. But let's just look at one more passage in 1 John before we leave this book. Go to chapter 3 and verse 10, because he makes a summary statement there. 1 John 3 and verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God. You want to be sure? You want that assurance? Here it is. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So he sums it up in saying, are you practicing righteousness? Are you obeying the Lord in whatever he teaches us? Do you love others? And if you give a qualified answer to either of those, most of the time, do you have assurance? That's why this letter was written. In 1957, the British Broadcasting Corporation aired a 3-minute documentary. For those that had televisions, that wasn't a large slice of America at that time. And they showed a family in southern Switzerland harvesting spaghetti from their spaghetti tree out back. The next day, hundreds of people called television stations throughout England and said, where can I buy one of these trees? Oh, again, that was on April 1st, 1957. You can see that if you go to YouTube or Google it, you can, not right now, but you can see that video. But, you know, a lot of people fell for that. But then you say, oh, that was April 1st. Why did you laugh? Well, we know what's going to happen on April 1st. We're going to have our antennas up. We're going to make sure that nobody misleads us. Satan doesn't only operate on April 1st. Satan operates every day, every hour, and he's out to deceive us with things far worse than believing spaghetti grows on trees. Our souls are at stake. God says you can have authentic assurance. You can know that everything is fine, everything is good with your soul. Are you willing to pay the price? Being a serious student of God's word and then following up by living what God has taught us. This morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel, that's where you begin. You've heard about Jesus. Do you believe that he really is the Son of God, the Christ? Do you believe it enough that you're willing to turn away from sin, repenting of it, and to confess him before this group this morning and the rest of your life, confessing, I believe in him? And then are you willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? That's what Jesus taught. That's what Peter taught in the very first gospel sermon preached in Acts chapter 2. Are you willing to be baptized and know that you are saved in the sight of God? And if you've done those things, have you been living faithfully, seriously searching the scriptures, doing whatever the Lord says? And if this morning you say, I've not done it very well, I know I need to repent of my sins, I need to pray for forgiveness, this is a good time for us to do that together. We'll pray with you, we'll encourage you, whatever we can do. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.
Oh,
just a moment, we'll be sharing the Lord's Supper together. Before we do that, we're going to sing a song again, not in the book, but it's How Deep the Father's Love. Prepare your communion sets, please. Consistent with Tim's message this morning, I thought we might visit the scriptures that are available in Mark chapter 14 as a pattern to let us know we have assurance that what we're doing in this part of the worship service is not only authorized, it's required, and it's something that we need to approach with a proper mindset. Mark chapter 14, verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you just now, we're grateful for an opportunity to gather in your name, to seek out your word, your will, and your way,
and to do those things that you have asked us to do in this book. Help us, dear God, to do this in a manner that is pleasing unto you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Continuing Mark chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Let us pray. Again, Father, as we approach your throne through your Son, we ask, dear God, for the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing of garment, the refreshing of minds, and the knowledge and the assurance, dear God, that we're doing what you have asked us to do during this time of this assembly. This prayer we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now we've come to the point in our service where we have an opportunity to give back to the Lord. And that's probably the proper way to look at this opportunity. We're directed in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Let's give thanks for the offering. God, in like manner, we're thankful for this opportunity that you provided us to provide and to support the work here and to support each other, support those in our community that are in need, to support the mission works and the many outreach ministries that are underway here. We pray, dear God, that these funds would be distributed properly, much good would be done, your will would be accomplished, much good would be done for the kingdom of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Let's close in prayer and then a few announcements. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you have been glorified in all that's been said and done in this service. We pray that each one has been edified and uplifted and encouraged and strengthened by being a part of this worship service. We ask that you be with us day by day, Lord. Keep us on the path of righteousness and let us not be led astray. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be aware of the following. The Day Reporting Center, that's a branch of the Tennessee Department of Correction, will have their graduation this Tuesday evening, May 7th at 6 p.m. here at Central's building. Several have worked hard to overcome addictions and learn a better way of life. You are invited to hear these powerful stories. We urge you to come. One of our members has a medical appointment in Nashville on May 15 and is not able to make that drive on her own. If you might be able to help, call Linda or Dennis Russell or Tim Hall for more details. A men's retreat will be held at High Rock Bible Camp on May 10th and 11th. The guest speaker will be Jeremy Weekly of the West End Church of Christ. A women's retreat will be held the following weekend, May 17th and 18th. Please register for these events on High Rock Camp, Bible Camp's website.
In addition to the retreat, Central will be having an opportunity for the spouse who will not be going to the retreat to bring their child to Central each of those Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. for fun and fellowship. Be aware that the Dorcas group will be on break until June, and Washed in the Word will be on break until September. Upcoming events here at Central. Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group will meet next Sunday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Retired Men's Breakfast is Tuesday, May 14th at 9 a.m. And the Central Redbirds monthly luncheon will be Tuesday, May 14th at 11. Remember these in prayer. Jan Shepherd was taken to the Med Center on Thursday with extreme weakness. We do not have an update on her condition, but hope you'll pray for Jan. Carlene Bannister has been diagnosed with costochondritis, a condition that was caused by COVID, according to John. This is in addition to other medical issues that Carlene has been battling. Jimmy Daniels, that's the father of Molly, has been found to have multiple tumors and needs our prayers. Last Sunday, April 28th, Nick Cunningham began his service as Central's newest deacon. Nick is going to be in charge of the new greeters program as well as the attendance program. Nick, will you please stand? If you don't know Nick, here he is. He's a very capable fellow. We appreciate his taking on these works, and I hope several of you will get over and let Nick know that you appreciate his working in these areas. Also, today the elders wish to place before the congregation the name of Paul Elliott to serve as a deacon over a program for the elderly and those with special needs. We ask that you give this proposal due consideration and prayer and give any feedback to one of the elders in the next 2 weeks, ending on Sunday, May 19th. Paul, would you please stand? If you don't know Paul, he is a very capable fella, and we've got a lot of confidence in him, and we hope you'll be praying about this situation too. Thank you, Paul. We are dismissed. Hope you have a great afternoon, and hope you can join us for service tonight.